microphone. Annie F. Downs in your car to your home. Every week it's on the news. A deep talk or an interview. She'll make you laugh, she'll make you cry. When it's dark out, she's a light. When you're down, get you feeling right. Oh man, that's some fun.
Hi, friends, and welcome to another episode of That Sounds Fun. I'm your host, Annie F. Downs, and I'm so happy to be here with you today. Before we dive into today's conversation, I want to tell you about one of our incredible sponsors. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. A lot of us are spending our lives wishing we had more time. Me too. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what is important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. It's definitely done that for me. So give BetterHelp a try. They've made it so simple to get started. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Your session can be done from right at home. All you do is fill out a brief questionnaire. We love a quiz to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge, because finding the right match for you is really important too. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/thatsoundsfun today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/thatsoundsfun.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Today on the show, I get to talk with my friend, one of your favorite influencers, Nicole Renard, better known as Nicole the Nomad. Nicole is currently competing on Fox's hit show, Next Level Chef with Gordon Ramsay, in the social media chef category, and she is quickly becoming a fan favorite, y'all. You have got to catch up on the show. It is so good. If you have not watched any of this season yet, you have got to watch it. She runs a food and travel brand called Nicole the Nomad and shares her favorite smoothie bowls and snack obsessions. I got to make a Chase the Fun themed smoothie bowl with her not too long ago. We'll link to it in the show notes so you can watch the video. It was so good and so beautiful. It had edible glitter on it, of course. You are going to love her if you don't already know her. I have been dying to have her on the show to tell you all sorts of things, but particularly about her life on Next Level Chef that is on TV right now on Fox. So here's my conversation with my dear friend, Nicole Renard. That sounds fun. Nicole Renard, welcome to That Sounds Fun.
Hello.
It is long time coming.
I'm so excited. I can't believe I'm in this room right now.
Welcome to the studio.
You're iconic. This is so iconic. I'm honored.
I am so glad you're here. For our friends listening, you are Nicole the Nomad on social media.
Yes.
So the first question we're asking Nicole the Nomad in 2024, because this is our 10th anniversary, we are asking everyone at the start of the show, because the show is called That Sounds Fun, tell me what sounds fun to you.
You know what I've been thinking about for a really long time? I think I'm going to do this for my birthday party this year, actually. I want to have the Amazing Race in Nashville. I want to get all of my friends together and split us up into teams and have challenges and different obstacles around town, like clues that they have to figure out. And I want to have a party, get everybody together and just go around town and see who can finish the race quickest.
Okay. I've participated in one of these before.
Really?
And let me just give you my one piece of advice.
Okay.
Don't let people drive themselves, because people get
crazy.
So if you require them to be in cabs or Ubers, they can't control the speed at which they get somewhere.
Oh, wow.
They can only control getting to the right place.
I literally never thought of that. Yes. That's actually really good.
I was in a car and the person driving, I was like, I'm actually very afraid because trying so hard to win that we were in he was driving really recklessly. Oh, and I was like, this is a bad idea. This is a bad idea.
I didn't think of that. That's good to know.
No self-driving vehicles, only others driving vehicles.
Only Ubers. Wow.
Or weird. Make them get on the General Jackson.
Yeah.
And do something on the boat. That's a great idea.
Thank you.
When is your birthday?
May 22nd.
Oh, it's coming.
Coming up.
Okay.
Yeah.
How old? Do you mind us asking how old?
I'll be 29.
Okay. Oh, that's awesome.
I'm almost to my 30s. How crazy is
that?
Isn't
that the best?
Yeah.
Okay. 29 is incredible because you have accomplished a ton professionally. We want to talk about your pageant life. You just got married.
I did.
He's so tall in real life.
He is.
6'4".
It's surprising.
Isn't that great?
I don't know why, because I remember you're always tall. And then I see you and Chandler together on the internet. And I remember, and he is taller than you. Yeah. And then when I saw him in person, I was like, oh.
I think it does shock people, because I think people who follow me online don't even know that I'm that tall. And
yeah, then that's right.
They're like, wow, you're tall. So Chandler's even taller than me. Just two tall beans.
Very tall beans. That's right. Okay, tell everybody how y'all met. I love this.
We actually met online.
Yeah.
We met on Hinge. I was getting on the app to delete it because I never really used it. And I thought, I need to get rid of this. And he had just gotten on a few days before because he lived in Huntsville, Alabama, and was having a hard time meeting girls. And so his friends actually convinced him to download the app. And they're like, put your mile radius on 100 so you get the girls in Nashville.
Oh, wow.
And that's how my profile popped up. So we matched and started talking. And then he deleted the app because he's like, I just needed to meet the girl. And I found her.
Yeah. Talk about your first
date.
Isn't
that crazy? Yeah, so we actually started talking when I was out of town for 2 weeks. Yeah. I was working over Thanksgiving, first in LA and then in Orlando. And he did not want to wait that long for me to get home to take me on a date in Nashville.
Sweet.
And I told him, well, I'm going to be in Orlando for Thanksgiving. And his parents live not too far from there. So he's like, I'll meet you there. And my only window of opportunity was after this red eye flight.
Yeah.
Before I started work. And so he drove down to Orlando at 4 a.m. to pick me up at the airport at 8 a.m. off my red eye and took me to breakfast. And that was our first date.
Oh my gosh, that is so cool.
Isn't that wild?
In Orlando, which y'all love.
Yeah, and we ended up getting married there. So it came full circle. We got married in Orlando last November, and it's been so sweet.
Man, I love all of that. You just did. Will you please talk about the thing you just did with Disney at you and I haven't talked about this in our real lives.
Oh my gosh.
What in the world?
Yes. Disney Weddings invited Chandler and I to come to Disney World for the week for an event with them to showcase all that they do for their Disney wedding experiences. And so
I didn't know they did that.
I didn't either.
Y'all got to try on dresses. K-Cup was there too. Were y'all already friends?
Yes.
Okay, good. As I was watching both of you, I was like, oh, two of my friends are in the same place. I hope they know each other.
So they have the official wedding dress collection of wedding dresses inspired by Disney princesses. And we got to pick one and wear it for the grand reveal of their newest wedding venue at Epcot at World Celebration Gardens.
Yeah.
And we did it after hours. So we were at Epcot from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Oh my
gosh. To get these photos and videos. And it was the most epic fairy tale experience I've ever had in my whole life.
So cool.
It was awesome.
Which one did you pick?
I picked Ariel.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
Ariel was my favorite princess growing up.
It was fun seeing you try them on, but that was so fun.
It was a dream.
I loved it. I just need to understand this Disney wedding situation. You can just like call them and they have it all set up like that?
Pretty much.
I mean, this episode is not brought to you by Disney, but sort of.
Yeah, so Disney actually has a lot of different wedding venues that you can choose from. Their most well-known one is the Wedding Pavilion at the Grand Floridian.
Oh, okay.
You can get married in front of the castle at Magic Kingdom if you want.
Whoa.
You can get married in front of the ball at Epcot. You can get married in the different countries in Epcot. They have
a
huge list of venues that you can choose
from. Nicole,
I did not
know. Why didn't y'all do that? Did y'all just decide you didn't want to?
We were planning a wedding very quickly, and so we didn't have the time to kind of go through that whole process.
Yeah.
And when you do a wedding with Disney, you kind of have to use all of their people for photography, food, cake, everything. And I already had some people lined up for stuff that I wanted. So it ended up not working out for our wedding. But we kind of feel like we got a second experience to get married again with them. And it was so special.
That looks so okay. So is there a collab? This is what I was thinking about this morning when I was thinking about getting to talk to you. Is there a collab that has not happened yet that you're like, this is a dream? Is it a celebrity you want to make a smoothie bowl with? Or is it a sponsor company like Disney that you're like, I would love to partner with them?
Gosh, I can think of so many, but the first thing that came to mind, I started a series where I make smoothie bowls inspired by country artists.
Yes.
And to get Dolly or Reba.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I would retire.
Yeah.
That would be it for me.
Don't retire. I love learning from your smoothie bowls. They're so thick. You've taught me so much.
That would be so fun.
We have to link in the show notes when you made one that matched the cover of my Devo's Chase the Fun.
That was one of my favorite ones.
That was so fun.
That was great.
Thank you for doing that with me.
Oh my gosh.
I loved it. I was like, oh, my gosh, this is absolutely matching the cover. You also did the Taylor Swift series.
Yeah. Yes.
Brilliant.
Yes.
For every album.
Yeah.
How are you going to do the new one that's black and white and gray?
Listen, is it Folklore or Evermore that's also black and white?
Oh, you're right.
Because I did that one. And
you're right.
Actually was one of my best tasting bowls I've ever
made.
Oh,
really?
It was an Earl Grey bowl.
Oh, yeah.
Which sounds interesting, but the liquid that I used was this really concentrated Earl Grey tea.
Yeah.
And I added black charcoal. It ended up being super beautiful and so yummy.
Okay, so you've
I'll
done
have
black
to
and
get
white.
Creative.
Okay, great. You just get to loop back around to it.
Yeah.
Well done. How did you end up in Nashville?
Honestly, the Lord. I was living my best life in LA. I've always wanted to live there. Ever since I was a kid, I thought, I'm going to be Hannah Montana one day, and I'm going to live in Hollywood and do the thing. And I was. I moved to LA. I was loving my life there, and I had a rough start.
From Washington.
Yep. So I went to college in Orange County and lived there for 4 years. Okay. But in 2017, when I graduated, I became Miss Washington. So I lived in Seattle for 1 year.
And then was in Miss America.
I did compete in Miss America in 2018. And once that was done, because that was my full-time job for my first year out of school.
Got it.
I moved back to LA.
Okay.
So I was in LA for about 2.5 years. And to be honest, it was a rough start. I struggled for about 2 years to make things work and make ends meet. And then right before actually the pandemic hit is when I felt the Holy Spirit asked me to start leaning into food content. And I didn't know what that meant, but that was right when everything blew up online. And so my accounts went from 0 to 2 million almost overnight. And I started doing content full-time the summer of the pandemic. And I was thinking, here we go. Like, I finally made it, but we've got some momentum. Things are starting to pick up and I can do this now and sustain myself and not, you know, barely survive in this city. And it was maybe 6 months after that, I woke up at 4 a.m. and heard the Holy Spirit say, you're moving to Nashville.
No. And I was like, that direct?
Yes. I said, no. I literally said,
did you know anybody here?
Yes. I had like one or two friends, not many. And I just thought, this has to be just a crazy thought in my brain. There's no way this is God, because why would he want me to move when things are just getting started? And so I woke up and made myself some tea, got in the word, and it was so clear. I started praying about it, and the conviction was so heavy. And so I was like, God, if this is you, which I still think this is so crazy because it feels so out of the blue, I need confirmation today. Like, I wasn't messing around. I'm like, I'm thinking, surely he won't give it to me. Like, this can't be right. And then I got confirmation in 3 very specific ways that day.
Yeah.
And all arrows pointed to Nashville.
Oh, my gosh.
It was wild.
In your life with God, how many times has he been that direct with you?
A handful. Maybe 2 or 3 other times.
Yeah.
That being one of the clearest.
Yeah. I have like 2 in 40 years. Yeah. I have 2.
Yep.
And the other decisions are more like, what do you want to do?
Yeah.
Or what makes the most sense?
Yeah.
Or what? But there are 2 that were like, do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. The other time was I was 17 in my senior year of high school. So it was 10 years before that.
Yeah.
And I woke up in the middle of the night again. And I could not fall back asleep. And so I started praying. And instead of talking, I just tried to listen the best I could.
Wow.
And in the midst of that, I've never heard a voice so clearly. And it kept repeating the same thing over and over again. It said, you were going to feed people around the world. You were going to feed people around the world. And I had a vision of myself in other countries learning how to cook different ethnic foods and then using that food to feed people and gather people around a table. And I freaked out because at the time I was not a professional dancer, but I was competing in dance competitions and I thought I would do dance professionally, move to New York. And I didn't know anything about this thing that I was seeing or food really. And I saw myself in a hallway, walking down a hallway, almost like a hotel with doors on each side. And I reached out to open the door that I picked and the door swung wide open and I walked through. And so
before you even touched the doorknob.
Before I touched the doorknob.
You're 17 years old.
And then I fell asleep.
Nicole!
So Annie, I woke up the next morning and I thought, gosh, that was a weird dream. But I opened my phone and all of it was written down in my notes.
Oh, my gosh.
And I was like, okay, either I wrote that down before I fell asleep and don't remember it, or it was the Holy Spirit. I don't know what it was, but it's the first note in my phone. I'll never delete
it. Oh, my gosh.
And I didn't know what that meant until literally 10 years later. Now I'm doing content full time, and it has to do with food and recipes and smoothie bowls. And before that, you know, I'd struggled with an eating disorder throughout college. And there was a moment where I was like, God, I think you might have the wrong girl, because how can I feed the world when I can't even feed myself? And so it's been so cool to look back now on this journey that's over 10 years of how God is like unfolding these things that he told me when I was 17 that all have to do with feeding people on a global level. And none of it made sense to me at the time.
That is unbelievable. And even to this day, who knows where else that could go?
Yeah.
I mean, you're just at the one chapter of the long book.
Right.
So who knows where that, how tightly do you hold on to now that you've seen that? I'm thinking about our friends listening who are like, wow, I have a dream for my life that I feel like God has given me.
Yeah.
Or that I hope for. I mean, I have dreams for my life and I'm like, I can't say that. I can't say I had a note in my phone from the Holy Spirit. But I have dreams for my life, too, that haven't, particularly professionally, that we haven't seen come to pass yet. You've seen part of yours happen. I've seen part of mine happen. Yeah. I dreamed of publishing a book and here we are. When you start seeing it, what's the next thing? Do you go, okay, thanks, God? Do you dig in deeper? What's your next move when you start to see him answering the vision you had, the hope that you had, the prayer that you had?
Yeah. Ooh, I try to be faithful with what I have today.
Oh,
because every day looks different. And I'm like, God, one thing I know about my life is that everything changes so quickly.
Yeah.
And I could be thinking one thing for my life. And if I make these 5-year plans, 10-year plans, God is just so funny.
Yeah.
And he just throws something right in the middle. Right. And is like, nope, we're actually right. not going to go that way.
Right.
And so instead of doing that and getting all wrapped up in my plan, I just try to be faithful with what's in front of me.
Yeah.
And ask God, like, hey, what do you want me to do today with the capacity that I have today?
Yeah.
Because also my capacity looks different.
Yeah.
Every day.
Yeah.
And so one thing that I'm really grateful I learned early on after I had that vision when I was 17 was that, hey, feeding people can look a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
I might not be able to travel the world and be feeding nations right now, but if I get, at the time in LA, I was pursuing acting, like if I get booked on set, I could bake cookies for the crew.
Yeah.
And I could feed people in that way, or I can, you know, write an encouraging message and post it online. I can feed people even figuratively.
Yeah.
So trying to remember that call, but like get creative with how that can look, because I also never thought that I would be a girl on TikTok who had a huge following for making food. But hey, that's feeding people too.
Yeah, that's right. How do you balance? It's like the greatest area of your strength was also a great area of pain. Dealing with an eating disorder. And also you make food on the internet and now on our television constantly.
Yeah.
Does that voice ever whisper to you anymore? Do you still have to have boundaries around your thoughts on food, or is it just like freedom?
I'm at a place now where there's freedom. It has way less power over me now than it ever did. But it's something I wrestled with, because I remember when God was kind of in the beginning stages of working through all that, I was like, man, this is such a big weakness. There is no way I can go public even about what I'm struggling with, because I was convinced that I was alone. I was convinced I would lose all my friends. I was convinced people would think less of me.
You had an eating disorder.
Yes, that I was struggling with this. I held a national title at the time, and I thought, gosh, I can't share that I'm struggling with this, because people expect me to have it all together.
Yeah.
People expect these things from me, and gosh, God forbid I come out and say that I'm struggling with something.
Yes.
That would just ruin everything. And so I believed those lies for way too long. But it's funny that when I opened up and was vulnerable about what I was going through, it opened the floodgates. And it was like the one thing I was running away from was the one thing God was trying to use to reach people.
Wow.
And it all had to do with food. So that is a really powerful part of my testimony that I don't talk about as much anymore, but that's really what gave me the strength to continue to like lean into these areas I feel God was calling me for, and I did not feel equipped. I did not feel ready. I did not feel qualified, but I'm like, all right, if you're asking me to do it, then I'm going to say yes, because I know you're going to provide.
I mean, that is legit my observation as your friend, is that he keeps putting you in situations where you for sure don't have everything you need to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a cut on you. It's literally that he goes, I want you to climb that mountain. And you're like, with what rope? And he's like, just start walking.
Oh my gosh.
When you do, the rope appears every time. I've seen it twice in person and more in your story. But like, what?
Yeah.
Why does he keep doing that to you?
Honestly, I don't know. But if I were to guess,
it would
be that he wants the glory. There are things that are happening in my life, and I'm like, y'all, I cannot point to anything but the Lord, because I should not be here.
Wow.
I am not qualified. I am not ready. I don't know why I'm here, and I'm the first to admit it.
Yeah.
But God wants all the glory, and he's doing stuff in it that's just so fun
and
wild to be a part of, because it's all him.
Yeah, it just really is.
That sounds fun.
Hey friends, just interrupting this conversation to tell you about one of our incredible partners, Factor. You know I'm here for any meal option that means I don't have to cook very much, and that is Factor. Their meals are truly delicious, and they're ready to eat. Factor meals are pre-prepared, so you just heat them up. They're chef-crafted, they're dietitian-approved, plus they're delivered right to my door. It is quick, easy, and healthy. Yes, and amen. You have over 35 different options every week to choose from, including keto, calorie smart, vegan, and veggie, and more. There's over 60 add-ons that help make your weekly meal plan even more delicious. So here's how easy Factor is. There's 2-minute meals where your meals are ready to heat and eat whenever you are. They've got a bunch of snacks, smoothies, and a wide variety of easy options for breakfast, midday bites, and more. And when you sign up, you save. Factor is less expensive than takeout, and every meal is dietitian dietitian approved to be nutritious and they are really delicious. So if you're on the go a ton and need an easy but really good option, it is Factor. Head to factormeals.com/TSF50 and use the code TSF50 to get 50% off, you guys. The code is TSF, like that sounds fun, TSF50 at factormeals.com/TSF50. Again, that gets you 50% off. That link, pretty much every other link you could ever hope for, are in the show notes, or we'll send them to you Friday in the AFD Week in Review email. And you can also sign up to make sure you're getting that in the show notes below. And I have another incredible partner to tell you about, Magic Spoon. Y'all, I am a cereal person, but whether you're cereal in the morning or cereal as a snack or cereal before you go to bed, you are going to love Magic Spoon. Listen to this breakdown. Their variety pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs. And there's only 140 calories per serving. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free. My kind of cereal. Their variety pack includes 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. We currently have the peanut butter one in the office, and it is such a good mid-afternoon snack. Go to magicspoon.com/thatsoundsfun to grab a variety pack and try it today. Be sure to use our promo code thatsoundsfun at checkout and you'll save $5 off your order. Magic Spoon is so confident in their product. It is backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember, start the day off right with a delicious bowl of high protein cereal at magicspoon.com/thatsoundsfun and use the code thatsoundsfun. Sounds fun to save $5 off. Thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with some samples. So if you have read That Sounds Fun, you probably remember the story of me trying to get a dog and then realizing I was allergic. Sad day. And this is why I'm glad I found Claritin D, because an allergy attack is literally the worst. So I am thankful to have it on hand around my friends, pets, and other things. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It's designed for serious allergy sufferers, and Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Amen to that. There are also a lot of seasonal allergy sufferers over here at AFD Inc. and at the That Sounds Fun Network. So Claritin D really works for this crew. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It is time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. So you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter. Just ask a pharmacist for Claritin D at the pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription. Just go to Claritin.com right now and you can get a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Okay, back to our conversation with Nicole. That sounds fun. We gotta skip ahead. We gotta skip ahead to you and I sitting at lunch last fall before I went to New York, and you were like, so I think I'm going to Ireland. And I was like, what? What are you talking about? And so will you talk? I mean, that is the profound situation. You being on Next Level Chef is the profound situation where I see God going like, here's an opportunity that you don't have everything you need to succeed, but you are, as we speak, you are succeeding on this show.
Yeah. And another element of that too is like the timing wasn't ideal. And I think that was just another thing where like he gave me the option. I could have said no.
Yeah.
I almost said no to this opportunity because the timing was not good.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's a lesson in that too, that like, hey, the timing might not be good.
Yeah.
But are you still going to obey and say yes and take that leap of faith? And so I got the call.
And you auditioned, right?
I did.
So you even put yourself in a, I don't know that I have everything it takes, but I am going to bet on myself.
Well, I honestly didn't think I would even be considered because it's a Gordon Ramsay cooking show. I'm like, they're not going to pick me. I'm
and
a girl.
Richard Blaze, I'm such a fan.
I blend frozen fruit together for a living. Like I make smoothies. I bake. They're not going to actually consider me. I've auditioned for shows on Food Network before, and I never make it to the very end because I don't ever have like the technical skill they're looking for. And so I auditioned for this back in the spring and honestly forgot about it.
What does it look like to audition? Did you back me up to, is there a website? And you like...
It's like a casting website. Fill out an application. And then you, if you get called for an interview, you do like a Skype interview with the producers. Okay. And they put together like a little package that they then send to the network. And then they pick who they want to come on the show.
Oh my gosh. So it's just like a process.
Yes.
Okay,
and
sorry.
I made it through a couple interviews, but then I never heard from them. So I thought, okay, they passed. Awesome. Yeah. And then I got engaged in July.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, great. Now I can focus on planning a wedding. I don't have to worry about the show. And about a month and a half later, I got a text asking me if my passport was still valid. And I'm like... You've got to be kidding me. And I still, it wasn't a final confirmation, but they're like, Fox loves you. They think they might want you for season three. Just keep these dates open. And it was a month before the wedding.
Oh my God.
And so Chandler was kind of freaking out. I was like, hey, I can say no to this if this is too much. Mm-hmm. Like, our relationship is more important than me going on some TV show. Like, I really am trying to pray about what the right decision is. And so I got the confirmation a week before they wanted me in Ireland. And I was in Switzerland.
Switzerland. Yeah, yeah.
I was literally in Switzerland, and I thought, man, the timing of this could not be more wild because
wild.
I landed in Nashville. I had one day to unpack, do laundry, repack, and get back on a flight to Dublin, and I was there for 3.5 weeks.
My gosh.
Wild.
That is – now, I know we can't talk about past what we know.
Yes.
But when you start recording – so let me – tell you where this is coming from. I was in a group one time that was a similar group to this, where it was handpicked. It took a lot of interviews and all the things. And when the group got together, I was the only person with our belief set. Mm-hmm. So, and that was pretty quickly identified, more like them being like, oh, you're a Christian. And I was like, I'm terrified. Yeah. Wait, I'm the only one here. Wait, what?
Yeah.
And so it was a new experience for me.
Yeah.
When you got together with everybody else, did y'all talk about that stuff? When you get with all these other chefs, are you like, tell me about your real life? Are there other people who believe what you believe?
Yeah.
Or were you kind of like on your own emotionally, spiritually, socially?
In the beginning, a little bit, because we had 3 episodes of auditions. And so there were 8 people that got eliminated before we even started.
Oh,
and
wow.
So there were a few people that got eliminated that I really connected with. That was kind of a bummer because then they weren't there. But
were they global or is it all Americans going to
Ireland?
All American.
Okay. Yep, all American.
Why Ireland?
I think it's just cheaper to film, cheaper to produce. And so Gordon put up the largest soundstage in all of Europe on some random cow farm. And we filmed it out there. It was so random.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. But amongst the top 15, like, I forget that the chef culture can be pretty aggressive and pretty vulgar. And so even just with language and the words that I use or don't use, like, that made me stand out like a sore thumb. And to be honest, after being in such close quarters with everybody for so long, that really did start to weigh on me. Like, it's just heavy.
Yeah.
And so a lot of prayer. I mean, I did feel lonely a lot.
Yeah.
But it was such an incredible experience. Yeah. And I learned so much. I mean, I've never been more terrified and scared in my whole life. It was the hardest thing I've ever done because I was the least experienced there.
Wow.
I knew some, but I really didn't know what I was doing. And a lot of what I did on the show, I was learning for the first time. I did a lot of things for the first time on the show in the moment. I'm like, I just have to go for it because I don't even feel like I should be here.
Uh-huh.
And I've got nothing to lose. And once it got past a certain point, I'm like, listen, I thought I'd be gone by now.
Yeah.
So if I get eliminated today, it doesn't really matter. Yeah. So I'm just going to go for it.
A great time.
Start taking risks. But Annie, I cannot even explain to you these. It was like an out-of-body experience when I was in these kitchens and I thought, okay, today's the day I'm going home.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, my hands were doing things that I did not know what they were doing. Like, it was like Holy Spirit took over and he was being Ratatouille up in my head.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I didn't know I knew how to do this. And I'm cooking and the chef's come. Richard Blaze is my mentor. He comes over and he's like, Nicole, tell me about what you're doing. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's working and it's fun and this is amazing.
So there are professional chefs, there are home chefs, and there are social media.
Yes.
Those are the 3 groups.
Mm-hmm.
Will you kind of explain? Now, I am a massive fan of Next Level Chef because I watched last year because a guy I follow on social media that I love, Shay Spence, he was on.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'll watch. And I like cooking shows anyway. So will you kind of explain Next Level Chef? Because it is like one in a million kind of show.
It is. So it's actually based off of the horror movie, The Platform, if you've ever seen
that. Oh, I did not know that!
Yes. The producers are watching that movie and are like, that would be a great cooking show.
Wild.
So essentially, there's 3 levels of kitchens, basement, middle, and top kitchen. The basement kitchen is like a prison kitchen.
Yeah.
There's just terrible equipment. Things are rusted. There's holes taken out of bowls. There's dull knives. Like, it's worse than it looks on the show, if I'm honest.
Oh my gosh.
It's terrible.
It looks terrible on the show. Like, you don't have anything you need.
Awful.
Yeah.
Middle kitchen is your standard commercial kitchen. It's got better equipment. Nothing super fancy, but you're good up there. Mm. And then the top kitchen is your state of the art. Everything's super bougie, nicest equipment. You've got all the fancy stuff up there. And so this platform lowers from the ceiling.
It almost looks like an elevator without walls.
Yep.
It's just, and it goes between all three floors.
Comes down to the first floor. When it turns green, you have 30 seconds to run to the platform and grab everything you need for your dish before it starts to lower. And then it goes to the middle kitchen. They have 30 seconds to run and grab all their ingredients, and then it lowers to the basement. By the time it reaches the basement, not only do you have the worst kitchen and equipment to work with, but you get the last pick
the
of
leftovers,
ingredients.
Yeah.
And there's sometimes barely anything left on the platform.
And then you're also competing because there's three or four of y'all in the basement. So y'all are all grabbing for
the same
proteins.
And a lot of times the ingredients don't make sense together and you just have to make it work.
Dude.
So the first official day when we got through the auditions, the draft day, when I went in that day, I prayed and I said, Lord, just let me start on the middle or top kitchen because I think at least I would have a fighting chance.
Yeah.
And I started in the basement. So that alone just gave me so much more anxiety than I already had going into it because I'm like, I'm already not starting off on a good foot.
Yeah.
And the challenge was so, it just ended up being so chaotic. I was convinced I was going home.
Yeah.
Luckily, I didn't. I was so sad when my teammates actually went home, but that saved me and kept me through another round.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, because somebody from, well, it's not even necessarily from the basement, but one chef from one of the floors leaves every week.
Yes.
Okay.
One chef gets eliminated every week now.
Okay. Will you tell the story of the lamb curry?
Oh my gosh, yes.
This, when you posted the story on social, I was like, this is such, the Lord is woven into this entire story.
He literally is. I was looking through cookbooks the night before the curry challenge.
So they let you have that. You have cookbooks.
We have cookbooks, magazines in the green room, but you can't have technology until you get back to the hotel. So I couldn't look up anything until I got home. But I was in the green room and I was flipping through one of Gordon Ramsay's cookbooks and I came across this lamb curry recipe and I was just reading it and I was like, man, that looks, I think I could do that.
Yeah.
And so I wrote it down in my journal and I remembered like the base ingredients for it. And I'm thinking, man, if there's a chance I get lamb tomorrow, I'd love to make that. But I was in the basement, so I wasn't counting on it.
Yeah.
So when that ground lamb came to the bottom, I was like, that is the lamb of God right there. I'm grabbing that. I grabbed that lamb and then I had everything else that I wanted. I grabbed the canned tomatoes. I grabbed an onion. I grabbed my garlic. And you saw the coconut fell all over the ground. I didn't really need that anyway. But Chef Blaze was so concerned for me that I only had four ingredients.
Yeah.
He's like, you have such a minimal grab, Nicole. I'm really concerned about you. And I'm like, I'm not concerned. This is exactly what I wanted because everything else I needed were my spices and things that I had available to me in the staple pantry.
Yeah.
And I was already planning on making a homemade bread. So I'd already started on my naan dough. And I was really excited about that because I have more experience on the baking side of things.
Yeah,
so I'm like, this bread might save me.
Yeah.
But when they tasted my curry and Gordon said that he loved it and it ended up being top dish in my group, I mean, that really gave me the boost of confidence I needed.
Did you ever tell Gordon that was his recipe?
I didn't get a chance to.
Yeah.
No.
Because I guess they kind of, the three of them, the three coaches and mentors, probably y'all don't like hang out.
Oh, no. I mean, I'm pretty sure he would get on his private jet and go other places on the weekend and come back. He was
That's why I thought he might be in Ireland, was he can just take a plane back to England to his family for the weekend.
Yeah, I think he did.
Wow. Okay.
Crazy.
Okay. I have so many. I feel like we are the luckiest right now because we're like insider information. Do you get to taste each other's food?
Technically, no. There's about a 1 to 2 minute gap when the challenge ends before the producers come in and kind of kick you out of the kitchens where if you've made extra, like extra protein, extra sides, you could like kind of shovel them in as quick as you could. And then we'd walk around to each other's stations and like try each other's sauces or try each other's proteins. But we don't get to touch the finished plates.
Got it.
Yeah. And they don't want us really trying other people's things. I don't know if that's just to keep things fair. I'm not sure. But
when the plates are set in front of the judges, are they still warm?
It depends. There is a break between when they get to the platform and then we come in for tasting because they have to get all the close-up shots.
Right.
And so
that's
soon as they get
imagine.
The close-up shots, then they bring us in. They try to keep it quick, but it's usually like a 30 to 45-minute break that we have. So we are told, like, these mentors are professionals. They've been working with food for years.
Yes.
They're not judging on temperature when they're taking into consideration your dish.
Yeah, totally. Because they would have to go, we know if this was proper temp.
Yes.
That would be really smooth. Yeah. And that would have. And so we will judge like that mentally.
They're more looking at plating aesthetics, texture, taste, creativity, how you use your ingredients, cooking technique, that kind of stuff.
How often have you gotten to be out of the basement?
Several times.
Yeah, you have.
Several times.
Yeah,
several, there's lots more coming.
Yes.
I
mean, it is so fun. It's on Fox.
It is.
Yep. Okay, so and can we watch next, online? Yeah.
Yep, streams next day on Hulu. It's also on YouTube TV. Okay. So lots of options.
What has it been like? What has been the negative feedback and the negative part of being on a nationwide television show?
Right now, not a lot, which I'm really thankful for.
Yeah.
Because I was nervous that, you know,
people might. Because a lot of people watch.
Yeah. And I kind of thought maybe people would come at me as, you know, this girl doesn't know what she's doing. Yeah. Like, get her off the show. But I honestly, I'm just trying to stay in my lane. I'm not out here professing to be the best chef on the show because I know I'm not. But I'm
using
this.
You do a great job because you're not like, I'm terrible at this. You're just like, I'm not a professionally trained chef.
Yeah.
Like, you have a very balanced view of your public view of yourself. So no one's going like, oh, she's pitying herself.
Yeah.
And nor are you making yourself seem like
I'm just
chef.
Doing it's my really best. Good. And on my platforms right now, like everyone's very much on the journey with me. Like we're learning how to cook. We're trying new recipes. We're learning different techniques and we're leveling up. Definitely. I've never posted this many like actual cooking videos versus baking and smoothie bowls. But now I feel like I have this open door to start sharing more of that content and bringing people along the journey of like, hey, let's figure this out together. Yeah. I don't know how to cook this certain protein, so let's just do it.
How has it increased your numbers being on a TV show? Have you seen a bump across your socials?
Yeah, a little bit. We're still getting started now, so I don't know that I've really seen the full effect of that, but we'll see.
That is so fun. I mean, that is like you. I was curious because you do have millions of followers. When you get negative pushback on, is it about you? Is it about the smoothie bowl flavor? Is it about the technology you're using or the equipment you're using? And how do you go forward, even though armchair experts, not the actual, you know, but, you know, people whose thumbs are very active on their phones but do not know you at all have opinions. What's the pushback and how do you deal with it?
Unfortunately, it usually is about me. And
really?
That's what's discouraging because I know that these people don't know me. They don't know my heart. And oftentimes, they're not even following me. And so I have to remember, like, hey, if they don't know me personally, I can't take this personal.
That is the first thing I check if someone chirps at me.
They don't know my heart.
Yeah. I'm like, do you even follow me? Nope. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so they're usually making a quick comment because they're scrolling past something quickly and they're making a snap judgment on something they know nothing about just to be mean. And everybody has their own reasons, but it does get to me because I'm a sensitive person who has feelings.
It would get to me too.
And so I, one, try to not look or I delete the comments or block the people because I don't have time for that. And I'm really thankful that my community, for the most part, is super positive.
Oh my gosh. They jump on people who are unkind to you too.
Yeah, that
too. I love that. My people do that too. If they see someone come in that's chirping undeservedly, they're always like, what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Who are you? Yeah. And your people do that too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And a lot of times too, it's just they don't have the context. They don't know exactly what they're talking about. So they're seeing a clip of something that was, you know, edited quickly and put out, even if it's from Next Level Chef. And it's like, you don't know the full story.
Yeah.
You don't know what went into that. You don't know what we were told. You don't know how they're editing things. And so I just have to not look, honestly.
How do you have this maturity about this? I mean, is it from being in pageants and having public people publicly talk about you before? How are you so good at this? How do you not let this ruin you?
I'm not good at it all the time. But I do think just with my experience with so many things that have been public, whether it was Miss America or traveling or whatever, and my experience even online, I think I've had to come to learn at the end of the day, that's not my identity. It doesn't define who I am. It's not where my worth or value comes from.
Yeah.
And I've had to do that work with my personal relationship with Jesus and understand like, okay, I know who you say that I am. And I can always go back to the word and look at truth. And at the end of the day, like these things don't change that.
Yeah.
And so there's no point in giving them power or giving them life because they're not truth.
Wow. Yeah.
Which is hard. It's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But
it is the only way forward if you feel called to do online ministry in any way.
Yeah.
To be a light and darkness in any way, you have to give yourself that balance and not read the DMs and just stay out of all the things. Where is your community louder and more active on TikTok or on Instagram? Where do you have the hear the most from people?
Yeah, honestly, probably Instagram because I've been there longer.
Okay.
TikTok is bigger.
Yeah.
But I think it's just from people during the pandemic who were following my viral videos and seeing me for smoothie bowls. So I get recognized in public. Like, are you the smoothie girl? Are you the girl who makes smoothie bowls?
Yeah.
And I think all that's from TikTok.
Yeah.
But I think I have a more loyal base on Instagram who have been there since gosh, before I even competed at Miss America, they've been there from the beginning and watched my growth and seen me through all these different transitional seasons of life and getting married and meeting Chandler and going to do Next Level Chef. Like, it's been wild.
Yeah. Anybody from Next Level Chef that as we're watching, you're like, this person was such a cool hang. This person was fun to be like. Tell us a little bit about the personality of the people that were around you, too.
Yeah. Everybody's so fun. I mean, we all did get really close when we were there.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because there's literally no option. Like, you're stuck in a little tent
and
together.
And you had to be out there on the weekends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I got really close with the people on my team. Yeah. Zach is awesome. We had a great time. And I learned so much from him because he's so smart.
Yeah.
And has so much culinary experience. Gabby on Team Ramsay was one of my best friends while we were there. She's just so kind. And we are very similar. And so that was really awesome. But we're all friends now. I mean, we have a top 15 group chat and we talk
every
day.
Gosh, that's really sweet.
Overwhelming at times, but so fun.
Yeah. And when you think about like Richard Blaze, tell me what he's like in real life. I'm such a fan. And it's like, can you still reach out to him? Like, would
He follows me on Instagram, which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
it also
you
makes me nervous.
Of his the other week.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So he came out with a cookbook with his wife right after the show. And I was at my bachelorette party for our wedding, but Chandler was in town. And so he went to the book signing here in Nashville and got to meet him and we got his cookbook. So I've done a couple of his recipes, but he's great. Yeah. I learned a lot from him and I'm really grateful for his mentorship. It was a great team to be on.
What happens next? I mean, you can't tell us how Next Level Chef ends.
Yeah, stay tuned.
For you, but I cannot wait to see how everybody's like goes back and watches and catches up now.
Yes. And if you want to meet the chefs, we're doing a big dinner party, watch party on March 28th. It's
here
gonna be so
in Nashville,
fun.
Right?
Here in Nashville at a farm.
Yes,
it's
talk about it. And talk about Chef Steven because he is a friend of the show. We love his wife, Christine. Yeah. She was on the show with Kindred Farms and the Kindred Life. So y'all are doing a watch party.
Yes, we're doing a watch party for episode 10, March 28th at Kindred Farm. Chef Steven was my mentor before Richard Blaze was my mentor, helping me get ready for the show. He was just so helpful and kind during that whole process. And so
what does that look like? Do you call and say, help me, I'm about to cook every day?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And so he honestly, just the simplicity of like how to organize your station so that things don't get messy, that saved me. Because just having like structure and a formality of like, okay, keep it basic because you only have 25 to 30 minutes. You can't really do anything crazy. He helped me simplify things and figure out like in a pinch, here's some go-tos. And that was just so helpful.
Cool.
Yeah. So we're going to do a big artisan pizza party night.
Yeah.
And we're going to watch the episodes together. There's going to be 10 other chefs from the show
coming. Oh my gosh.
And it's open to the public. So if anyone wants to come,
do we have
to
get tickets?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a ticketed event. We're going to have a raffle. We're going to do a Q&A. It's going to be so fun.
I'm totally coming. I love Kindred Farm.
Yay.
That place is so great. Where are y'all going to do it outside? Oh, up
in
on
the barn.
In the
they just built this whole new venue.
That's what I heard. I haven't seen it yet. They built it over the winter and I haven't been there since.
It's going to be great.
Okay. March 28th.
Yes.
Where can we look at that? Is that Kindred Farms?
KindredFarm.com. Yeah.
Okay. We'll share the link. That sounds fun. Hey, friends, just interrupting this conversation one more time to tell you about one of our incredible partners, KiwiCo. A game night with the mini BFFs in your life is always fun because it's a chance to do something together. That's why I love KiwiCo too. No matter how old the mini BFFs in my life are, KiwiCo delivers seriously fun learning for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities, and you can join in too. Each month, kids receive crates packed with activities designed to introduce them to exciting science and technology and art concepts. There's this super cute one where you build your own baking set. Oh my gosh, you guys, you get all the pieces to build a stand mixer and you even get a cake with candles on it. It is so cute. Crates come with everything you need for kids to build, including materials and instructions. And you'll be surprised at how high quality the materials are too. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your kids engaged and challenged and off their screens. But each crate is designed by real experts and tested by kids to ensure that every experience is age appropriate, engaging, and seriously fun. There's always something new for kids to discover, like engineering robots or learning about the science of ice cream. With 9 monthly programs to choose from, KiwiCo has something for kids of all ages, ranging from infants and preschoolers to teens and beyond. But the best part is watching their creative confidence grow as they tackle different challenges. That moment of pride and accomplishment at the end of a KiwiCo project sparks creative confidence for lots more tinkering and experimentation. Redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code ThatSoundsFun. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code ThatSoundsFun. And I have another incredible partner to tell you about, Mosh Bars. I love when I find a snack that has protein in it and is easy to keep with me on the go, and that is Mosh Bars. But get this, they also exist to support brain health. Mosh is a company founded by Maria Shriver and her son, Patrick Schwarzenegger, with a simple mission to create conversation about brain health through food, education, and research. They have six delicious flavors. Each Mosh bar has 12 grams of protein, and it's made with ingredients that support brain health. Plus, Mosh donates a portion of all proceeds from your order to fund gender-based brain health research through the Women's Alzheimer's Movement. If you want to find a way to give back to others and fuel your body and your brain, Mosh Bars are the perfect choice. Head to moshlife.com/TSF to save 20% off plus free shipping on either the Best Sellers Trial Pack or the new Plant-Based Trial Pack. That's 20% off plus free shipping on either the Best Sellers or Plant-Based Trial Pack at moshlife.com/TSF. Thank you, Mosh, for sponsoring this episode.